Last week, I began to talk about this question here. What part of your life is Jesus not Lord over? And I want everybody to think about this again. We all are at a different season in our lives. There are some areas in your life Jesus is definitely the Lord. But there are also certain areas in your life Jesus needs to be the Lord. And you are working towards it. You know, and until we see God face to face, it's a work in progress. I'm there with you too. Okay, there are areas in my lives I am constantly be like, Lord, I want you to be the Lord in this area. While I think about it, I want to thank all of you who sits in the middle. And I invite all of you who sits on the side to join me, not today, consider joining me in the middle. Because sometimes it really feels like there's nobody in the church. Until I look over here and I look over there, you know. So it's okay, guys, you know. We've got this front row here. Every Sunday I'm trying to remember to say this. I never remember, but today I do. I remember to say it. But still, thank you guys for considering sitting up front and being right here. It's nice. So there's a great invitation for those of you who sits on the side to join me in the middle. It's all right to sit close to each other, you know. So this is what I touched last week. I talk about Matthew chapter 7 for those of you who missed it. Remember, you can go on our website, on our YouTube or Facebook to listen again to the sermons, the message you missed, okay? I use Matthew chapter 7 where it says Jesus was talking to the people. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? You know? And then I also use Luke chapter 6 where we touch on three words, you remember? He says, I will show you, Jesus said, I will show you what it's like for me to be the Lord over your life. And he said, when someone comes to me, he listens, and then he follows. So there are three things. If you come to the Lord, you must listen, and you must follow. It's not enough to come. There are a lot of people, they are stuck in the coming. They said, oh, well, we prayed the sinner's prayer, and then we are saved. But are you listening to the word of the Lord? Are you taking to heart what God is saying in his word? But it's not just that. Are you following? You know what following Jesus is? Sometimes he goes through the valley of the shadow of death. You go through the valley of death. You feel like you're by yourself. But Jesus will never leave you. We leave him, right? But thank God he will never leave us. So those three words, all right? And then, of course, we talk about the person who follows, they are wise and they build their house on a solid foundation, on the rock. And then it says, when the flood water rises and breaks against the house, it stands firm because it was well built. But then the rest of verse 48 in Luke chapter 6 says, but anyone who hears and does not obey, they're like a foolish person who builds a house on a foundation of sand. And you know what's going to happen when the flood, meaning when worries, when troubles, loss of jobs, you know, a co-worker, you know, you fill up the blank. Life circumstances. When those things happen, what's going to happen? If your house is not built on the solid foundation, it will sweep down against the house, and then the house will collapse. And then, of course, I also touch on 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and that's where I stop. It says, do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Wrongdoers are people who do evil. Do not be deceived. neither the sexual immoral or idolaters or adulterers or men who have sex with men or women have sex with women or thieves or greedy or drunkards or slanders nor swindlers. I'm still learning English, all right? Or fraudster. That's a fraudster. Someone who cheat people. You know, and sometimes, many times in the church, we categorize sin like, oh, adultery, fornication, you know, a murderer, homosexuality. You know, those are sin. But how about cheating people? Cheating people, you cannot be a cheating Christian just as much as you can't be any other, you can't be practicing any other sin and call yourself a Christian. How about people who likes to talk about people? Gossip. Or how about you don't like to talk, but you like to hear? Danny Six said it. He said, weak-minded people always talk about people, but powerful-minded people talks about ideas. So be careful. When you are with your friends, with your people, if you're always talking about somebody, you might want to change that. Repent. Powerful mind people talks about ideas, projects, future. Greedy. How about greedy? Greed. You never satisfy. When the Bible says, if you can be happy with what you have, and think about it, just reach your hands where you can. Right now, you can only drive a car that's worth $3,000. Make sure it's clean. Make sure the brake works and it's got good tires, and wash it often. And if the AC works, what else do you need? Work hard. Maybe someday you'll be able to buy a brand new $50,000 vehicle. But don't go in debt just for the fact you want to be like the Jones. That's misery. Well, how about that? How about greed? And then when we give into the spirit of greed, this is what happened. We see we have anxiety, we have back pain, knee pain. Do you know those things give back pain? Anxiety, when you have debt, you can't sleep. Don't give in into the pure pressure of having all this stuff. Don't give in into the spirit of greed. Be happy. Be satisfied. That's what I'm telling myself right now, because I want a new truck. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. Okay, so I can tell you. Yeah. I've been fighting with this. I want a new truck. But then I go back. I'm like, Ricardo, what's wrong with your truck you have right now? I'm like, no, I want a 4 doors. Which Kendra is like, well, you should have listened to me, because when you were buying this one, I told you to buy a 4-door. You know, because now when we go places, I need to take my truck. I need to take the instruments and stuff. Different things, and I can't take the family because my truck is only a little king cab. But right now, I cannot afford a new truck. Now, believe me, when you see me on a new truck, I can afford it. Discipline. Because I believe it's the will of God for me to enjoy peace. It's the will of God for me to enjoy peace of mind. To sleep at night. Why must I bury myself in the spirit of greed just so I can, so people can see me driving this? I mean, if you can afford it, go for it. But if you can't afford it, be aware of the spirit of greed, because the lender, the borrower, is the slave of the lender. And we have many slaves in the church. Jesus came to destroy the work of the enemy. That includes being set free from the spirit of greed. So, what part of your life is Jesus, not the Lord? Discipline, there's another one, discipline. And I think all of you who value to come to church on time, I think all of you. But some of you, you might need to really put Jesus the Lord on your time. Make Jesus the Lord of your time. Just be on time. Some people, they're late except for dinner. Or you can't be late for work either, because you know they'll fire you. But I honor you for being a person of discipline. You know, if you have an appointment with me at 10, I will show up at 10. Unless there's a bridge up somewhere in the Tidewater area. Then I'll call you, and you know what's going to happen. God wants us to be people of discipline. Drunkards. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some Christian loves to drink. Now, don't get me wrong. I have nothing against drinking. Once in a while, I have a nice glass of wine. But be aware, why do I have to always be drinking? Why does Friday afternoon, after a long week, I have to kick back with a six-pack? Why couldn't my flesh be like, you know what? You had a long week. Let's call Isabella and Larry. Let's see. Hey guys, what are you doing? You wanna play pickleball? You guys need to take us to play pickleball, all right? We asked Ryan too. Ryan, they play pickleball. She's really good, I hear. You know? Discipline. How about that? Which area in your life? Discipline, talking about discipline, that Jesus needs to be Lord. Is it eating too much? Can you fast that ice cream that you love so much? Nah, don't go there. Do not touch my ice cream. It was good to be together today, all right? God bless you. I'm done. What area in your life is Jesus not Lord? John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. You can take notes on that. John said, if you claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. There is a treasure right here. When we walk with Jesus, when we walk in the light, I walk in the light, you walk in the light, you're going to want to stay connected. But the moment I am not walking in the light, and seriously, I'm talking about my own personal life. I remember when either I'm offended, somebody hurt me, or I'm walking in bitterness, in sin in my life, whatever it is, the first automatic reaction is I remove myself from the body of Christ. That's why it's never the will of God for you to remove yourself. Never. When this idea comes to your mind, don't show up. Don't come, run away, stay away. That is the plan of the enemy to kill, steal, and destroy your life. But if we walk in the light, verse 7, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all our sins. There's a story about the successful man in Oklahoma. They were asked, somebody went to him and asked that he would support, you know, Christian ministry for, you know, using his business to support his ministry. And he said this. He said, I want you to know that I'm a Christian and I'm a businessman, but I'm not a Christian businessman. I want you to know I am a Christian and a businessman, but I'm not a Christian businessman. Because a lot of times we compartmentalizing. Where's my plate? Where's my styrofoam plate? I need it. And then this is what happened. This is what happened with our lives. We compartmentalizing our lives. So we make Jesus Lord on Sunday morning, but not Monday morning. Now, if you're not like me, okay? I really don't care if my chicken is touching my bean sauce. I really don't care if my salad is touching my applesauce. But some people, that's why they made these plates. But me, I really don't like to eat using these plates because I don't like it. You see, that's waste of spice right there. Anybody? You see, that's what we do with our lives. We compartmentalizing our lives, saying, or even I've heard preachers says, we don't talk about certain issues because they're political. When you read the Bible, you realize morality, you can't make morality a political issue. Thank you for that, amen. You cannot make sin a political issue. Society is making those things a political issue. But if the Word of God, and as for me and Restoration Church, the Word of God is our standard, not what culture is telling us. Oh, no. So that's why in my life, there is no compartmentalization. It's impossible. My life is that one plate, you know. I want you guys to see up the hope. Now, Tony, where'd you put that plate? The other one. I know he's shaking his head. But you know, I want you to see. Get me a plate. Just get me a plate. Get me a plate that's not compartmentalizing. And I want you to see this, have this picture in your mind. Stop compartmentalizing your life. If Jesus is not Lord of your religion, if he's not Lord of your political views, that's why you cannot live, especially in this country, from a political mindset. Because then sometimes I might have to vote for somebody that is with the Republican Party. I might have to vote. Thank you, brother. I might have to vote for somebody who is valuing the kingdom values that's with the independent or the democratic mindset. This is how God wants us to live our lives. Not like this. But I get it. Some of us, man, I tell you, I see you, nothing touches. And you know what? It doesn't go stop there. There are some of you, you have a plate like this, but you still compartmentalize the food. A little bean there. Now, there's nothing wrong when it comes to when we're talking about the food, compartmentalizing your food. I don't do that. I like everything mixed. Potluck, casserole. All right? But I'm using this as a spiritual lesson to show you. If Jesus is Lord of your life, he's going to be Lord of your home. What do you listen to at home? If Jesus is Lord of your life, we're getting ready to transition. And I speak that over my wife. I pray that over her because the whole voodoo mindset that comes with the spirit of Halloween, where everybody is decorating their front yard as a graveyard. You know, everybody has got skeleton celebrating death. It's like, who in their right mind would give in into that stuff? But do you know what somebody told me at Home Depot the other day? He said last year, before the season was over, they sold out. So Evo is selling. So right now, why not? Why not selling graveyard? Why not selling witch that's flying off a tree being like... You walk by, and people are like, ah! And then you wonder why you're having nightmare. You wonder why you're mine. And I'm calling you God's people. This is the time you walk your community and you intercede for your neighbors. This is not just a time you're like, oh man, how come? Don't get frustrated. Use that as an opportunity to be like, God, just open their eyes, Lord. Lord, they don't know. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing to you, their children. They don't know how they're opening the sphere of heaven to allow demonic activities in their home. They don't know. They don't know. Because if only they knew, they wouldn't do that. That's why, for us, if God, if Jesus is Lord, He's Lord in my home. What do I listen to? How do I decorate my house? When did we lost the whole beautiful season, change season? Man, I'm getting sad because summer is almost over. I love summer. But you know, it's nice to be cool too, you know? It's really nice. Yeah. But when did we lost the whole idea of celebrating the change of season, fall? You know, where it's like the pumpkin festival, pumpkin soup, pumpkin pie. You know, everything is like decorating orange. You know, you're having fall festival. You know, but now it's becoming about voodoo. It's voodoo. It's the worship of the dead. Don't give in to that. So if Jesus is the Lord, how about work? Is He Lord in your job? How do you treat people? How do you deal with the most difficult people in your job? If Jesus is the Lord of your life, when you woke up Monday morning and you feel like, man, this grumpiness over you, how do you deal with that? Or do you just carry that and then you chew everybody on your way and then you get to work, you just chew everybody else, and then no wonder you are bad advertisement for the gospel. And that's what happened to us. At church, yeah, I work, what song we were singing, you know? How God is greater. Oh, man, we were singing a song like about worship. What was that song, worship? Here I am to worship, thank you. Here I am to bow down, you know, you're just singing that. You're opening up your heart, you're sincere before the Lord. Here I am to say that you're my Lord. But then you walk out, you forgot Jesus is your Lord. Well, how am I going to deal with this difficult person once I drive home? How am I going to deal with them? So the question remains, which area in your life Jesus needs or He's not Lord over? Do you give in into the spirit of fear? I put that up again. Is Jesus Lord over your religion? The way you serve God, do you serve God according to what Jesus says? Now, you understand that Jesus wants you to be under authority. Let me ask you this. Who has authority, spiritual authority over your life? Who is your pastor? Don't tell me Jesus is your pastor. Jesus is a good shepherd. Yeah, because some people are like, wow, Jesus is my shepherd. Okay, all right, that's fine. Read the Bible, see what happened. Go read 1 Corinthians. Who's got authority? Now, understand this. Religious people has abused church authority. So therefore, when when they hear church authority, they rebuke. It's like they resist it because, yeah, I get that. But there are good leaders out there. There are good pastors. You know, it's not good for you to be out from covering. I am covered. I am under authority. Oh, I'm not just, I want to be under authority. The whole individualistic mindset. Oh, you know, I'm my own person. I'm on the island. I don't need anything. That's the will of the devil for you. You You want to be under authority. You want somebody to pray for you. If Jesus is the Lord of your religion, do you value quality time with him? I was telling our groups Friday night, I do fast during the day, during the week, just for my spiritual being, my walk with the Lord. I put myself in the discipline on Tuesdays, most of the time on Tuesdays, to fast. And, you know, like fast like 18, 20 hours or something like that. But the other day, I fast like 24 hours on just water. And then my experience with the Lord, and I'm like, hang on, why am I so hungry? It's only been 24 hours. So I'm talking this to Jesus, right? I'm like, why do I love food so much? I mean, Lord, it's not like I just had 40 days, 3 days. It's only been 24 hours. Man, I'm so hungry, I could almost cry. And then I realize, and God is, you know, the Holy Spirit's so kind. It wasn't a rebuke. It was just like a lesson. Food is good, Ricardo. The body needs it. It's not good for you to not eat. It's good for you to eat. It's good for you to feed your body. Just imagine spiritually when you never feed your spirit. And you only come here on Sunday morning once in a while. Some of you, once in a while I see you. Once a month. Are you dwelling in the Word? Are you feeding your spirit? Just 24 hours, I'm like, man, why am I so hungry? Can't wait to eat, right? Because I am so weak. And the Lord's like, that's right. That is right. Because your body, you spend a lot of energy. I mean, I was here that day, I sang for almost 5 hours. Sing to Jesus. I pray. I'm like, you know, when you sing, those of you who know that, sing, play. When you're doing it, it's a lot of fun. But when you're done, you're like, man, give me some food. Because you're burning energy. So my brothers and sisters, I encourage you in the Lord. Feed your spirit. Feed your spirit. Now, if Jesus is the Lord of your home, meaning your marriage, how am I treating this woman? How is she treating me? Can she forgive me? Or can she hold my past against me? Right there. You remember? You this, you do that, you do this. Or can I, do I hold her past against her? How am I at home with my children? With the most difficult person. If Jesus is Lord, where am I home? That's why I believe this question is it's not just a sermon we can just run with it. I believe it's something we can be very intentional, taking it to the Lord, be like, you know what, God? What part of my life am I struggling to make you Lord over? You know, I go back to home. I go back to home. You know, James Dobson, you guys heard of the news, he passed away. And I was watching an interview he was giving, and the guy asked him, you know, what counsel would you give a younger James Dobson? You know, he said, I'll go home and love. Love your family. And if you go and read this life story of James Dobson, he actually quit itinerant ministry for his family. And then God gave him the whole idea about focus on the family on the radio. And then, of course, that became an international ministry. But think about it. Go home, love your wife. Love your children. Love your husband. Go home, really love. Really love. You know, this whole, and I come against that spirit. For those of you who are married, this whole roommate mindset. If you're married, it doesn't matter if you are been married for 65 years. You should still be able to touch each other. You know, just, I understand the physical thing might not as great, but you get me. You can't be roommates. The whole idea of being roommate is God, is Jesus being the Lord? Is Jesus being the Lord in your home? And I tell you, if you'd be honest, you'd realize how many people who call themselves a Christian, but Jesus is not the Lord of their intimate life. Husband and wife who hasn't been intimate for 3, 4 years, 2 years, 6 months. How do you live in a marriage? I'm talking to you married people. How do you live in a home and you're never intimate with your husband, with your wife? You don't love each other, or one of you don't love the other person. If Jesus is Lord over your home, that area right there, you cannot hold it from each other. Now, if there is hurt, if there's misused, if there's misunderstanding, you tackle it. You go to counsel. Kendra and I, we there. We'll listen to you. We'll challenge you. We'll help you. The question remains. What part of your life is Jesus not Lord over? New birth. And I'll stop with that for today, and we'll continue later. So yesterday, Betty and Felix and I, we spent almost, that was good, full day together. And we went to watch Butterfly. This morning I woke up, I mean, I'm like, this lady was telling me the life of a butterfly. And the more I think about it, I'm like, that's new birth. I never saw it like that. If anyone is born again, the new birth is the heart's confession based upon the revelation that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. That results in what? Help me out, somebody. Transformation. So it is impossible. So be careful. If you're born again, you must be transformed. And thank God, because this verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, if anyone is in Christ, that person become a new creation. The transformation is on a daily basis. So you're changing from glory to glory. There is no doing, if you're doing this in the Lord, be careful. You know your destination is in hell. Because once saved is not always saved. Be careful. Some of us, we think once saved is always saved. And I'm going to finish with this verse for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1 and 2. It said, let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it and you stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you. How? If you continue to believe that message I told you. So if you continue to believe that message, you believe at first. If you remain in it, it will save you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first time. I pass on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins. But the key is the point here in verse 2. You must remain in the message. Because if you don't remain in the message of the gospel, it doesn't matter how you started. It doesn't matter, man, I remember. 15 years ago, I used to love the Lord. I went on mission trips. You know, I served my church. I did this, I did that. But then, now, who cares? You know what? People are wounded for me. And what would Jesus do? People wounded, almost wounded, to the point he went to the garden and prayed, Father, is there another way? God, is there another way? But not my will. Let your will be done. I want you to take this question home. Take it to the Lord. What part, what area in my life? And I want you to never see a compartmentalizing plate the same from today. Every time you see a plate, I want you to remember this. I'll come back for more. We'll be talking more about this. Let's take 5 minutes. Wherever you sit, Alyssa, come play for me. Just 5 minutes, where you at? Just go before the Lord with this question. You can play the piano over there. Take this question to the Lord and ask Him to make that He would become. Yeah, He would become the Lord of all.